Hello and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your host, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel.
What's up?
Woohoo!
So, as always, it's the recommendation episode. Welcome back to recommendations. This week, we have some fun stuff. We're doing some more split recommendations because there were some recommendations that were my strengths and some that were Ariel's strengths. Before we jump in, though, we just want to give another quick shout out to our merch.
Yeah.
Just in case y'all have forgotten, we have a couple of amazing pieces of merch that have been on sale for a little while now. We have our Dust Jackets pin, which is just fantastic. It's even more beautiful in real life than you could ever imagine. So I highly recommend it if you want a hilarious bookish pin. And then there's also our leather bookmark, which is also gorgeous. And a beautiful gift for the Books Unbound lover in your life. I'm sure you know one. There's got to be another one.
Can you tell that Raylene worked in a bookshop?
Yeah, that was a beautiful pitch. Thank you. Goodbye. And if you're a patron, you get 20% off. So if you're a patron, make sure to check out the Patreon because we have the code there that you can use. So totally. If you're a patron, make sure to take advantage of that 20% off because we love you guys for supporting us. And so we wanted to give back a little bit if you wanted to get some merch. But yeah,
exactly.
I think that's it. It's time to jump in. Let me see. What is the first recommendation request we have? Okay. The first one is one of mine, so I'll read it. This comes from Diana, who says, "Hi, I just read Normal People, and it was my favorite book ever. Then, right after, I read The Hating Game, and it was even better! I loved them both so much. I love Normal People because the characters were absolutely incredible and relatable. I adore The Hating Game and all of its cheesy chick flick glory. I'm not sure what to read next that can compare to these two. Love you guys." Smiley face. Thank you. That's very nice. So I know this one seemed like a bit of a challenge for you. Did you end up finding a good recommendation?
I think I did. I don't know. What's important, Raylene, is that I tried. And that's what really matters here.
Absolutely.
So basically, I was reading this recommendation over and over again, and I was like, how do I... Like, what is the link between these two books? Because normal
It's hard to know.
Normal People and The Hating Game feel really different to me. Like, I would not put in the same category. Now, I will say, I didn't read The Hating Game. So, I'm not too sure. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe there's a connection I'm missing. But what's funny is you haven't read Normal People, right?
I know. I just figured, I mean, the short summary that Diana is asking for is romance character development. So, I think even just taking it as simple as that is pretty. So, I don't need to know what Normal People's about.
I want to know what you picked first. I'm curious. Because I want to know exactly like how you interpreted these two books together.
Okay. Yeah, I have what I think was a pretty good recommendation. I've talked about this book before. I read it at the end of last year. And it's One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Yes. So this one I thought was perfect because the character development is very good. It has tons of drama. Like I mentioned when I read it, this was probably the most stressful romance book I've ever read. Because what it's about this woman named Emma who marries her high school sweetheart. They've been together for a long time, you know, love of her life type of thing. And then he goes on a helicopter trip and the helicopter goes down. They don't find him.
Right.
So he's presumed dead. And so she's obviously devastated. Like her true love is gone and she doesn't think he's ever coming back. And so then the story kind of progresses. A couple of years go by and she meets someone else, or rather reconnects with someone from her past. She, I think, used to be friends with this other guy, and they, you know, get together and eventually fall in love. And she finds a new love. She feels terrible about moving on, but she's like, he's never coming back, so I need to move on. But then the guy who went down in the helicopter comes back. He's so found. Stressful. He was on a deserted island.
I hate that.
So it's like the most stressful. So if you're looking for like rom-com drama, this is like the most intense rom-com drama that you could possibly get because she now has two men who she's fully in love with, both of them, but she had to move on from one because she thought he was dead, but he comes back, you know, the way it always is. It's just like Castaway. He comes back and he has been...
I was thinking about Castaway, totally.
It has Castaway vibes for sure. It's like Castaway meets a cheesy rom-com. And so he's been pining after her, you know, the reason that he's kept going is to get back to her. And then he comes back and she has moved on. And so it's just this huge drama fest. And so it's all about her trying to figure out who she wants, who she's meant to be with, all this kind of stuff. So it's very, very intense and dramatic. And the main character herself, though, does go through a lot of development in terms of her personal life. Mm. So if you're looking for character development and drama, I feel like this book is a perfect balance of the two. So that's why I picked that
one. I love it. I think you did a great job. Okay. I think I read this a bit wrong, but I've changed. I think I have something that will work. But it's weird because I haven't finished reading it.
That's fine. We've done weirder things.
Yeah, bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the situation, guys. I, like, literally last night was scrolling through my books that I've read. Scrolling through all of them, which I do when a book doesn't automatically come to my mind for a challenge. I, like, start to...
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, I start to scroll through my Goodreads. And right now, I just started doing it again, really. And I was like, you know what? Maybe there's something better. But I am scrolling back through time... And I have breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. I do not read romance. I'm realizing that now because I'm like, all of these books, like, some of them obviously have romance in them. Most of them have romance mm-hmm. in them. But that's, like, not at all the point of the book, or the most of the right. plot isn't about the romance. And I'm like, none of this counts. And I, like, don't want to yeah. talk about books I've already, like, talked to death about. Books like Landline by Rainbow Rowell, which... It seems like mm-hmm. a Landline or Attachments might work for this reader because, what was their name? Diana? Because she asked for, mm-hmm. like you said, like characters that are believable, and I think that Landline and Attachments have very believable characters. But I've already talked mm-hmm. about those books, so I've decided, guys, like literally I'm like scrolling through my books like, come on guys, I'm like, that's kind of a romance, but they're not. These are not romance books. So the book I've decided to go with is... Writers and Lovers by Lily King. So this was a book okay. that I got like halfway through earlier this year. I'm still dying to mm-hmm. read it and to finish it. And the reason that I feel okay recommending it is because I have other people that I follow on the internet have raved about it and have also loved it. Mm-hmm. So clearly there are people who love this book. So you might be one of those people. The concept, the reason that I think it might be like normal people-ish a little bit is because it's about, it's kind of like literary fiction, right? So it's about this woman who's in her 30s, who's writing a novel, who basically lives in a garage because she's really broke. She works as a waitress. She is just renting out this like really bad living situation from this guy who's just like renting out his garage space. And like to pay for part of rent, she walks his dog and stuff. So like she's really low mm-hmm. on money. And really trying to finish this novel, and she feels really lost. Another huge part of the book is that her mother died, and I don't remember how recently her mother died. It seems like it's been a few years, but she's really not coping well with the grief, and she's really struggling with that grief. So you have this character who's a total mess, right? Like, has an unfinished book, has a job that she doesn't love or care about. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a waitress, obviously, but it's just not her goal. It's not her dream. She's living in a life situation that she absolutely hates. And she doesn't have this a good relationship with anyone. And it's like, so that's kind of what the book is about. Kind of like this person trying to work through this messy life. So that kind of reminds me of Normal People a bit because... I don't want to spoil Normal People at all, but I don't think that's a spoiler. It's just like two characters who are trying to figure out how to be adults, right? You meet them when they're teens and they get older. And the book has a really amazing timeline where like they get older and older and older and you see their relationship go in and out of time. So I think that it has that in common with it where it's like these two messy characters. And I think that's what makes characters feel real sometimes. Like when you're watching a rom-com, a lot of the time it's like, this isn't real. You're like, you're both rich and you live in New York City. Like, what are you talking about? This is so idealized. Whereas the books that feel real are because like characters are living these messy lives. But also it does have romance. It's called Writers and Lovers, right? And it's about like these others, like, I think there's two different men that she meets. There might be three. But I haven't gotten that far. So there are a few different men that she meets and like is seeing different parts of, of like these relationships and how they could work.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a successful romance. Maybe Diana has to read it and let me know if it works out.
Yeah.
But I think that that works, Raylene, even though I haven't finished it. I feel pretty
I think that's a great recommendation. Yeah, because it's like literary fiction that has a bit of romance. I think that kind of fits with the normal people vibe. It's more about
I want to explain to you why I panicked, because when you first read the thing out loud, I was like, hold on a minute, because on my list I want to show you on my list all I have written down next to the romance recommendation is the word Shakespeare. And then you read it out. I don't understand why I wrote Shakespeare down there. And then when you read the synopsis out, I was like going between my phone and my thing, and I'm like, I read the wrong one, or something bad went, something bad happened here.
Something wrong.
Shakespeare? No. Anyway, all right. That was a bit of a mess.
Well, you made it through that pretty well for how much you were panicking. You didn't really show it, so you played it cool. But now we all know what happened. Oh, it's hilarious. Okay, well, the next one comes from Mintu. It's your recommendation that you picked, so how about you read that?
All right. Mintu writes, "Hello from Finland. I'm looking for a book where people escape from a situation where they have been isolated from society due to illness, scientific experiment, or any other reason. The creepier the atmosphere, the better. I loved The Institute by Stephen King and have been looking for that vibe since reading that book. Please help me." Also, my name is pronounced like you put the words mint and two together, which is very helpful. Thank you,
we
mint
nailed it.
Two. All right. So what did you pick for this, Raylene? I love this one because it's so specific.
It's so weirdly specific. When you first sent it to me, I was like, there's no way. Like, there's no way I have anything like that. But then when I got to the part that mentioned The Institute, I was like, oh, I've got the perfect recommendation. I have talked about this a bit before, and I have also compared it to The Institute. So forgive me, Mintu, if I have already... if you've already heard this recommendation and don't care, but I'll give it to you anyway. And that is The Promised Neverland. It's manga. So bear with me. But this story is, in my mind, very similar to The Institute. So even if you just want to watch the show, it's a great anime and it's on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
At least it's in Canada. It's on Canadian Netflix, so I don't know if it's everywhere. But it is on there and it's insane. So when you first start reading it, it seems like this lighthearted story about a bunch of orphans who basically are just living in this orphanage. They're like aged 5 to 11, so fairly young-ish. And it's just this nice story. The main character is this girl named Emma who's super happy all the time. And everything seems kind of great. But within the first episode of the show, and I actually haven't read the manga, so I'm sure it happens within the first volume of the manga as well, but there's this insane darkness that is hidden behind. So like I mentioned, it's about all these kids in an orphanage, and at the beginning of the story, a couple of the main characters, who are the older kids, they're very smart also, which is something that I love about this. They're very clever, so they kind of figure things out. But basically, they wander off a little bit. They're supposed to stay within this perimeter of the orphanage, and they go beyond the wall because they are trying to get something back to someone that left. And they discover something horrifying about the place they're living, about the truth behind why they're there. And it's so intensely dark.
Oh.
And so I feel like any lover of Stephen King will adore this, and it's got supernatural aspects. It's just insane. And so it's all about the main characters trying to find a way out, because when they discover why they're at this orphanage, they gotta leave. And so they're trying to get themselves out. They're trying to save all the young kids who are there. And so, yeah, it's all about them trying to escape from this dark situation they're in. So I highly, highly recommend that series. I know it's manga, so it's a little different, but I promise you, you will love it if you love The Institute. So that is my recommendation.
That's a great recommendation. I love that. I love when we go for the graphic novels and the mangas. I'm proud of us whenever we do that.
Yeah.
That's a cool... I think I could totally try watching that anime. I think that sounds really fun.
It's great. Yeah, just like watch one episode, and if you're not hooked, I'll be surprised.
How long is the show?
There's 13 or 12 episodes. It's pretty short.
Sick. Sounds great. Well,
yeah.
I'm looking at my list again. I feel like Tired Ariel was slightly not paying attention to what was going on to the world around her. And I don't know how accurate what I've written down here is, but you know, while you were talking and explaining that book, I was also thinking, I have another book, but I was thinking of Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro.
Oh, totally.
That would really fit this vibe. What's funny is, again, I'm talking about a book I haven't read. I haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie. That's why I, like, the story came to mind. Yeah. So, Mintu, you might want to watch that movie and check out Never Let Me Go.
Great movie.
Great cast. Great cast. But the book I've written down, I wrote down two books, Raylene, and I realized, okay, so first of all, when I read this one, I got really excited because I loved how specific it was and how fun it, it felt, and it really reminded me of, like, YA dystopians. Like, I feel, I feel like if you comb through YA dystopians, you can find a lot of situations that are like this. Like, even, like, Uglies is basically, like, a bunch of characters that are being held in a weird society, and then they have to, like, break out.
I thought of Divergent. Divergent was the first one that popped in my head. Yes,
Divergent. I mean, even, like, The Maze Runner.
That's true. They're all fall into that. Totally, right? People are trapped and something weird's going on.
Exactly. Another one is Ender's Game. Like, Ender's Game is sort of like this, where you're, like, being held in a certain situation, but then it turns out to be a very different situation.
Yes.
But the books that I wrote down are very different than that. So I don't know what I was thinking. Here I go. Okay. Number one, Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. Now I know what you're thinking. Ariel, what are you talking about? Well, hear me out. Basically... This is a situation in which a guy gets sent to the very far past. He gets sent to King Arthur's court. And he's from the 19th, I always get confused, 20th century, whatever. I'm like always confused on what century it is. He's from the 1900s. Is he from the, maybe he's from the late 1800s. Gosh, it's been a while. Anyways, he gets sent back to like before medieval times. Camelot wasn't real or anything, but he gets sent back to that period. And yeah, it's all about him trying to freaking escape. He's like just trying to get back home. And so I thought that that would be a good one. But the other one that I really thought of was Exit West. Exit West? Yeah. Oh, what's the author again? I should say author names. Exit West by Mohsen Hamid. That's right. So this is a really interesting book. It was very powerful. It's very sad, but I mean, you can't have books about like being isolated and escaping a situation without some of them being sad. So this is a book about refugees, but in a very magical realism way, where basically we have these refugees who are trying to escape, and they find out trying to escape their country, and they find out that there's these magical doors that have started appearing, and if you pay a lot of money, basically, like, obviously, like it would happen in real life, bad groups of people, evil people, like stand in front of the door guarding it and will only let you in if you pay. So they pay this, like, a lot of money to escape their war-torn country and hop through the door, and it will lead them to somewhere else in the world. But the thing is, like, they keep escaping situations and ending up in other bad situations. And it's, like, it's really interesting because you're seeing this kind of a metaphor for being a refugee and for escaping, like, really bad worldly situations. But you're all, it's so, like, it's also very realistic where you see, like, these characters end up in Greece and they, like, hop through this door. I'm pretty sure the first place they go from is the Middle East and then they end up in Greece. But, like, you see these people, like, go from this really horrible war-torn situation and they step through the door and you think it's all gonna be okay. You're like, great, they made it. It's done. Thank God. But then Greece has got its own, like, it's like a difficult situation that they've got going on in Greece, and they're suddenly, like, in a refugee camp, and it's, like, really hard. Anyway, have you read Exit West? It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I read that one. It was very
interesting. It is. It's so interesting. So, I don't know. Those were the two books that came into my mind, but then I don't know. I feel like, do you remember last week we, like, nailed it fully and we were really confident about it? I'm not feeling at all confident about anything I'm saying today. I feel the exact opposite.
It's okay. It's bound to happen. You're going through a lot. We're all tired and confused. Okay, well, I'll take over. I'll read the next one. This is my single person recommendation because it's about fantasy, and Ariel is not strong with fantasy, and that's okay.
Raylene sent this one to me, and she was like, hey, want to do this? And I'm like, no, I don't know how to do that.
I thought you might have had just one. There might have been one perfect recommendation. It's very broad. Like this one, okay, so this one comes from Tabia, and she's asking where to start with fantasy. So here it goes. I am equally intrigued and intimidated by fantasy. I have obviously read Harry Potter and love the Lord of the Rings movies, books not so much. I want to escape into another world, but don't know where to start.
Mm.
So this is very broad fantasy.
That's
this
true.
Is like,
it's true.
She's only read the bare minimum of fantasy and wants to know where to branch out from here. So I, of course, have selected three books
cool.
that I think would work really well. So the first one that I'm going to recommend is a series, Every Heart a Doorway by Seanan McGuire. This one also makes me want to recommend Alice in Wonderland and Narnia because this is kind of like a mixture of both of those. This series is about the main part of it is the school that's run by Eleanor, this woman named Eleanor, and she runs this school for people, like young people and teenagers who have disappeared into, it's similar, funny that you mentioned a book about magical doorways because this one also has magical doorways. So it's these kids randomly, sometimes a door will open and they'll walk through it and end up in a fantasy world that's the perfect fantasy world for them. So there's all these, there's like, you know, thousands maybe of different worlds that exist, and each kid goes into their own world, and this school is for those people who have come back because sometimes they kind of get kicked out of their worlds. A doorway will open up and they'll be kind of forced to go back home, but they don't consider our world their home. They consider those worlds that they've gone into their home, so they're depressed and sad and hate being here, and people don't believe them. Like, their parents think they're crazy. They're like, oh, you know, I went to another world, and of course they don't believe them, so they send them to this school, which is kind of seen as like a reformatory almost of place, you know, a place to send your kids to make them not be crazy anymore. But yeah, so that's what the first book is all about. And the series, as it goes on, you get to go into those different worlds. Like, this one just takes place in the school.
Right.
But as the series goes on, you get to see some of the different magical worlds. And it's so fascinating. They feel like old fairy tales, but Seanan McGuire has completely created all of these worlds herself. So I think that's a really good place to start. Also, each book is 200 pages. Like, they're very short. So if you're scared of the daunting size of fantasy books, I feel like that could be a really good place to start. Next up is my favorite book and favorite fantasy book, obviously, and that is The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. This one is a little bit longer, so it can be a bit more daunting. However, I feel like this series is perfect for fans of Harry Potter who want something that's like the next level up, something that's a little more adult and a little more serious in some ways. The main character is this guy named Quoth, who is made an orphan as a pretty young guy. Both of his parents get killed when he's about 10 years old. Happens right at the beginning of the book. And so it's about him living on the streets, trying to make money, make ends meet. And all he wants is to go to the university, which is a school for magic. Mm. And the type of magic they use is very cool. It's all about, it's very scientific, actually. So, you know, it makes sense almost when you're reading it. It's like a magic system that's like, yeah, this could be real. And so it takes a lot of practice to learn and whatever. So it's got great side characters as well. Some of his friends at the university are really good, but it's all just about his journey. It's this long journey. So I love it. I love it. I'll try not to talk about it too much. So I highly recommend that one because, like I said, it has similar vibes to Harry Potter. It's just like an orphan who just wants to learn magic and be strong. And the last one I will talk about is The Priory of the Orange Tree by Samantha Shannon. I know this one's huge, but this one's not a series, which is why I think it's also a good place to start, because you get the entire story in 800 pages.
Wow.
And this is another one that has a really cool magic system. It's all about dragons, and there's like two different sides of the world that are kind of warring against each other. One of them worships dragons, and the other side hates dragons and thinks they're like the devil.
Mm.
So it's very interesting to see the different perspectives on why they have those views, and it has lots of political intrigue and diverse characters, so it's just a great fantasy read, and it's easy to understand, which is the thing that I find difficult about fantasy sometimes, is it can be confusing,
right?
What with all the different weird names of people, weird names of places.
I find that
yeah, I find that too, and I've read a few fantasy books, so I definitely understand that struggle. But this one, it's pretty easy to understand who everyone is after maybe about 50 to 100 pages. It took me a little while to get into it, but once you're in it, you're fully in there, and it's super easy to understand. So I think that that's a good place to start.
You did
that's
great.
The end. That's really, the end of my talk.
I just want to applaud you. I think you nailed it. This reminds me of when you,
thank you,
when you did your like best books to for introducing to Stephen King.
Oh yeah.
And remember, we heard back from a few people that were like, read those books and it worked. So I feel like this is going to happen.
Yeah, that
again.
Made me feel really good.
Yeah, I feel like.
I hope so. I talk about these books a lot, so I hope that this is working.
I think you really nailed it. And I mean, you almost convinced me to read one of them. Almost. You didn't, but almost.
Ooh, which one?
I feel like out of those three, I would definitely read the Seanan McGuire one. Just because it's so short.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
But honestly, like, I know it's so unlike me, but The Priory of the Orange Tree does intrigue me just because it's all in one. Like, one of the big things that freaks me out about fantasy is that they're all series. It scares me that they all have, like, 8 books or 5 books or whatever, and with a lot of the, obviously, the newer ones, the series aren't done yet, so people are still waiting, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I hate that, and, like, I don't think that's ever gonna change within me, because I've been like this for 10 years. I remember when we were all, like, starting BookTube, and we were all reading all of these YA series. I read the first book in every single series that was popular, like, Maze, like we were talking about before, Maze Runner, Delirium, Divergent, What Uglies, whatever. I have not finished any of those series. Like, I didn't, for some of them, I read the second book. Uglies is the only one where I read the whole trilogy, but I didn't read extras. That sounds funny, just saying extras is the name of the fourth book, because it just sounds like I didn't read the special scenes. But like all of those other books, I just never read the second book. Pandemonium, Requiem, I don't know, Death Cure, what are these?
I've definitely
books
had
me?
That experience with a few.
Yeah, so anyway, I like that with Priory of the Orange Tree. It just sounds really like you'll get it, you'll go on a big adventure, and then it's over. I love that.
Exactly. That's why I think it's a great place for non-fantasy readers to start.
I really love that.
I seriously believe that.
All right. Well, the one that I have comes from Antonella, and she asks for, I would love to hear a recommendation for a book that has the same vibe of the movie, We Bought a Zoo. Haven't read the book, she says, so I don't know if it's similar. Something wholesome, beautifully written, and or explores the explores grief and family dynamics. Thank you so much, guys. Much love from Ecuador. P.S. I freaking love the podcast. Well, thank you, Antonella.
Oh,
I love that vibe.
That's nice.
I have the perfect book for this, like genuinely the perfect book. And so I had to do this because it's perfect. Okay. The book is Grief is the Thing with Feathers by Max Porter. I think maybe I've mentioned this book before, but if I have, it's only been once. And I think that this genuinely, actually, the more I read this, the more I'm like, this, you know, this is just perfect. Because the book is about a family, a dad and his 2 sons, who have lost their mother, right? The mother has passed away. It's, I guess you could call it an adaptation of the poem by Emily Dickinson. Do you know that poem? Grief is a thing with feathers. Let's see. I think that's a line from a poem in an Emily Dickinson.
It sounded familiar when you said it, but I don't know if I know that. I don't know poetry.
I'm going to read the poem. Here we go. So the poem is Hope.
Here we go.
Hope is a thing with feathers. So he like changed it a little bit. Here we go. One of the most famous poems of all time. I will try not to mess this up. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Ah, that's nice. I like the rhyming pattern there. That was beautiful. So that was the poem that this book is sort of based off of. So obviously hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul. She's talking about how she's making this metaphor about hope being a bird and everything. Mm-hmm. So then Max Porter kind of adapted it into this book where called Grief is the Thing with Feathers, about this family who's dealing with this horrible loss and this bird keeps showing up in their house. And is it a crow? I'm trying to remember if it's a crow. It's, or I think it's a raven. It's probably a raven. That seems more likely, yeah. Right? In a London flat, two young boys face the unbearable sadness of their mother's sudden death. And, oh yes, okay. And here's the other cool thing. Their father is a Ted Hughes scholar. So he's like obsessed with all this. It is a crow. It's a crow. Anyway, guys, this is like very poetic. This is why I think it's perfect, because it's a very poetically focused book that mm-hmm. is an adaptation of this really famous poem and all of this stuff that has to do with grief. Let me, hold on. Just this, what, where does Ted Hughes come in? Guys, we have this massive poetry conspiracy going on here. There's a web of information we've barely tapped into. But regardless, the book is so touching, and there's this, like I said, there's this giant crow that keeps visiting the family and kind of taking care of them but also kind of scaring them. Mm-hmm. It's very poetic, it's very sad, but it's very like hope is the thing with feathers. It is very hopeful also. Max Porter, like, it's one of the most unique books I've read. It was very experimental, I guess you could say, with its writing style, but it's also very short. So I think that if you are intrigued by that, but maybe a little nervous and you're like, I don't know if I could get through it. It's like 90 pages or 100 pages. So definitely give it a shot. The cover is really cool. I wish I could take a photo of it, but I don't have it, the book, but because it's packed away. But yeah, it did make me think about grief. And I don't know, I'm very fortunate. I haven't gone through much grief, to family that I have. Probably because I just don't have that much close family. But like, I haven't had to deal with it. But reading that book really opened my mind into starting to think about, like, wow, like, this is one of these universal human things we're mm-hmm. all going to go through. And it's dealt with so beautifully and powerfully in that book. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really interesting. I didn't love it, I'm going to be honest. But I think that was probably because I haven't gone through grief.
Yeah. Really. It makes sense.
So yeah, so that's my weird recommendation. I really recommend it. I think that We Bought a Zoo is more hopeful probably than that
book. I forgot where this was came from. The recommendation started somewhere.
But you know, it'll be fine. I hope Antonella likes that book. It's got a really cool cover. Like I mentioned, it's a beautiful cover, but like, it's got really cool texture. I don't know if that matters to anyone. That stuff really excites me. I don't know if you've ever like ordered a book and you get it in the mail and then it's got a texture you weren't expecting. That's that's some tactile fun right there.
totally know what you're talking about.
That's it for me, really. I just had one book.
Oh, that's fine. It seems like a tough recommendation to come up with more than one book for.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
That's fantastic. I mean, another one, maybe Wild by Cheryl Strayed. I don't know. We haven't read that, but that's about someone grieving. I know that much.
Remember how we were really dying to read that book? What happened to our verve?
We forgot about it. But that's okay. We'll read it in the new year, I'm sure. Not anytime soon, but maybe next year. Oh, that was good. It was a rocky episode, but I think we made it through.
You know what's funny? You say that, and that's very kind of you to say, but it was rocky for me. You were on point. You did a good job. I'm just a disaster over here.
It's okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for sending in your recommendations. Just for people who may not know, you can send in recommendations through our website. So if you just go to booksunboundpodcast.com, there's a little button you can click to submit your recommendation request. So feel free to submit one. Obviously, we get a lot, so we can't read them all off, but we love weird ones. So if you have any really weird niche recommendation requests, those are super fun.
We love those.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening. Thanks to our patrons for supporting us. We are actually off to go record our bonus mini episode, Books Unbucket, which is for our patrons only. So we're going to go do that. Ariel, what are you going to be asking me in this episode?
Well, I found this article from 2019, so it's not relevant at all, but it's called 15 Ways to Organize Your Bookshelves. I am going to go through every single way with you and ask you if you would do that version of organizing.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about this. Wow, this is really fun. 2 weeks in a row, we've had really exciting books on buckets. This is good. We're doing great. I agree. Cool, so we're off to go record that. If you want to listen to it, think about becoming a patron. There's lots of other perks, but that is one of the best ones because we have a great time over on Books and Bucket. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.